Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I share with you the book of Matthew. Let's hit Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to verse 23. Matthew 7, verse 21 to verse 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Verse 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So we know that we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven just by calling on Jesus Christ, Lord, Lord. But what we need to do is to do his will. And this morning we share with one another, the first will that he wants us to do is to enter the narrow gate. If we look at the history of destruction in the Bible, just like during the time of Noah, right? Only 8 souls were saved through water. Just like during the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, how many souls were saved? The time of Sodom and Gomorrah. How many? Was that? 3? Who is the 3 people? Yes, Lot and his 2 daughters, right? He knows that's the case after they were saved, and then you can see his daughters, because they live in Sodom and Gomorrah for too long, right? Because of this, they commit incest with their father. And from then on, their genealogy, of course, becomes so wicked, right? So only 3 people, right, in a Sodom, the whole place of Sodom and Gomorrah, when God destroyed with brimstone and fire. So on the end days, God will come again to send fire on the earth. And this whole earth will melt with fervent heat. And that only the few will be saved. And that few, we hope that's you and I. So that's why Jesus Christ said, yes, the narrow gate will be very few, right? People who can find it, who can enter it. But the wide gate, everyone is there. You know, when my adopted father was sick in the hospital, and during the time I tried to tell him that he needed to be baptized to be saved, but you know, but he still didn't want to come to believe. So the first time that he felt he was going to die, he was at home. When he was at home, he couldn't breathe. And while he was in the middle of dying, when he cannot breathe, and all of a sudden he saw 2 people showed up. The left-hand side was Satan, and the right-hand side was God. At first, he thought he was going to go with our Lord Jesus Christ, because my dad is a Catholic, right, since he was 9 years old. God baptized in the living water, but in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he thought that if he died, he would go to heaven. So as he in the process of dying, then Satan was the one who was taking his soul. And my daddy cannot believe it. So he asked our Lord Jesus Christ, or say to our Lord Jesus Christ, say, Lord, I believe you all my life. I got baptized when I was young. Why do you allow Satan to take my soul? So during that time, many brothers and sisters prayed for him. So when he said this, he shared with me that, you know, when he was dying, that Satan is taking his soul. It seemed like his life was coming out of him. But thank God, God stopped Satan from taking his soul. But he still did not come to believe. Then when he went into the hospital, my wife and I were there during that time. And we were in a waiting room, sleeping there overnight. And then all of a sudden, my mother came in and yelled to us, hurry, Rudy, hurry up. Your dad is calling for you. He wants you to pray for him. So I ran over there to his room. And all I heard was my dad yelling, screaming, like, Jesus, please save me. Jesus, please help me. And my dad, actually, he's from Sicily, right? My adopted father. And he's a very tough person. I don't ever remember seeing him cry, right? I don't ever remember seeing him yell in such a way, right? And he's not afraid of anybody. But during that time, to see my dad yelling just like a little baby, so he was yelling, saying, Jesus, please help me, Jesus, please save me. So during time, my wife and I kneeled down and prayed together. And as we prayed, I think maybe 20, 25 minutes later, my dad said, "I'm all right, son. I'm all right, son." So during time, I asked him, "What happened?" He said, "What happened? He was dying. As he was dying, Satan brought his soul into Hades. And in Hades, at first, he's only seeing, what, about 5-6 people around him. And then he saw in the distance, there's another group of people. And when he went to Hades, the first person he saw, it was Satan, like he said. And he's Satan, he says, so ugly that there's no word to describe him. That's how ugly he was, right? So when he was in Hades, his soul was so tormented, right? He said he suffered so much, but has no idea how to describe that kind of suffering. So while he was suffering, he see 5-6 people around him, and he looked in the distance, and he saw some people in the distance singing hymns and singing praise to God. He said they were so joyful while he was suffering. So when he saw them in the distance, he wanted to be with them, so he stepped forward. When he stepped forward, he said, there's thousands of people there. Thousands of people, he said, so numerous. There's so many people. And they all also want to go to the other side. But he said when he saw a group of people on the other side, not too many. Just a group of people. But the people in Hades with him, he said there's thousands, 100,000. They also want to go to the other side. And he said every time they try to go to the other side, there's a cliff. So when they go and they fall over the cliff and they came back and they start all over again, just like that. So that's why my dad, he was so tormented. So he yelled out to God, "God, please save me. Jesus, please help me." He keeps saying that. Then why we pray for him? He said the power of the Holy Spirit came to Hades and took his soul and put it back in him. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. And during that time, when my dad was in Hades, and of course, if your wife is in your room with you, my dad is my mother, and he keeps saying, "Joyce, get out of here, Joyce, get out of here," because my dad thought he was in Hades, so he did not want my mother to be in Hades with him. So he keeps saying, "Joyce, get out of here, Joyce, get out of here." But for us, we prayed for him, and when we prayed for him, he felt the Holy Spirit went down to get his soul and put back into his body. Then after that, he said, "Son, I'm okay." Then thank God, after that he said, "I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized." Because during that time, if he did not get baptized, we have no idea what else to say to him, right? And even after that, I said, God, if he doesn't want to get baptized, I know that you already gave him so many signs to do the right thing. So during that time, the doctor gave my father only a couple of weeks to live, right? Because the cancer spread all his body already. So, but that was in December, right? Late December and early January. And in Boston, all the seashore were all frozen already, right? So I told him, "If you want to be baptized, let's do it according to your faith." But when we spoke to my mother, and my mother said, "Are you crazy? You put him in the water, he will surely die, right? Because he has no red blood cell at all, right? His immune system is gone already." But I'm just saying to myself, I mean, he's going to die anyway, so, a couple of weeks to live, And I also thought to myself, no one ever died during baptism, right? No one. We never heard anyone die during baptism. But then the doctor said, "No, you cannot take him out, right? If you take him out, you catch a cold, he'll die, right?" And then we prayed to God, right? Because the spiritual complication is not until July, right, during that time. So for what? January, February, March, April, May, June, July. 7 months later, there's no way my dad can be alive for that long. But praise and thank God, right? January passed by, February, March, April, May, June, July. And July, my dad is still alive. All the doctors, right, they cannot believe it. He has no red blood cell. And tumor is all over his body already. My dad has one of the biggest tumor ever in his stomach, right? Because my dad, we figured that he's from Sicily. He likes to eat pasta, so his building is like this big, right? But when he had cancer, and they realized they took a 25 pounds tumor out of his stomach. I think he's in a museum right now. His tumor, really? Three doctors had to come and take his tumor out. But can you imagine 25 pounds? So when he took out the tumor, he lost 25 pounds, right? I mean, he looked good after it, right? But no one knew that it was a tumor, right? Because it hit in his stomach, right? And stuff like that, until they did surgery and stuff on him, right? So he lived until July. So in July, that day was such a beautiful day, right? There's no cloud in the sky, it was sunny, the day was perfect, the water was calm. So, and my dad was so joyful. He went into the water, right, got baptized, he came out, he was singing, right, he was singing. That's how my dad is, he loved to sing, right? He's always singing, right? So he sang and he was so joyful, right? So joyful. And then, you know, in about a month and a half later, 2 months later, my dad passed away, right? But my mother said, every Sabbath morning, he would get up early, right, and get his little Bible, his little hymn book, and ready to go to church, right? This is really amazing, right? My dad, I mean, I lived with him for many years. Every time my mother said, let's go to church, he's like, oh, no, not again, right? He hates to go to church. Then he shared me, he's like, yeah, you know, all your church members, they're Asian, but I feel like they are my brother and sister, right? It seemed like, you know, we all related somehow, right? That's what he said to me, right? It's very strange. But every Sabbath, he's looking forward to go to church. And then one of the days he went to church, he was sitting in the front pew, and he saw this glorious door open. Right? While he listened to a sermon, a glorious door opened. And then Jesus walked out, right, of this door. And my dad shed tears, because, right, he knows that Jesus coming to get him. So after that, about a month and a half later after that, and my dad was called back by the Lord. Remember the first two times, before the right baptism, Satan was the one that came to get him. But after he got baptized, according to the Bible, that Jesus Christ was the one that came to get him. So really praise God. We must have this kind of faith and realize, right? So that's why the gate is very narrow. If my dad did not take that opportunity to, you know, be able to hold on to that faith and to get baptized, then he will not make it. He will not make it. For me, that was definitely the last chance for him to make his decision. The last chance. So that's why for us, don't think, right? When we look at our church, we don't have too many members, right? But it's biblical. It's biblical. Because the gate is very narrow. If you want to do what is right, what is correct, what is according to God's will, not too many people want to follow. So for us, we are on the right track and the right direction to the heavenly kingdom. Okay? Now let's read chapter 7, verse 15 to verse 20. The book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 15 to verse 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistle? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Verse 20. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So here, this is the second will of God, what you and I need to do. What we need to do is discern and be able to see the false prophets. Because if we cannot discern between the false prophet and the true prophet, then you and I will be deceived. And when you and I are deceived, then we'll fall from the grace of God. So we cannot reach the heavenly kingdom. So we can see what is the sign of a false prophet. He will come to you, what? In sheep clothing. Sheep clothing. This means outwardly, they always seem, right, to be one of us. Outwardly, they seem they love God very much. Outwardly, they just think that they're the chosen people of God. But inside their heart, they're just like wolves. So don't be deceived. So do not only look at people outward appearance.
observe how they are inwardly. But for us to be able to understand people inwardly, we must manifest and be filled with the Spirit of God. If we are not filled with God's Spirit, we cannot see what's inside of them. If we're not filled with the Spirit of God, we cannot see what inside the sheep's clothing. So that's why nowadays we see, man, even with our church members, they're not truly the sheep of God. They are wolves. But we must be able to discern. Maybe they were sheep before, but now they turn to wolves. We must be able to discern. And how can we do that? It's the inward man. That's how we discern it. Because a bad tree cannot be a good fruit. And a good tree cannot be a bad fruit. In other words, yes, maybe outwardly, the good person, the bad person, they look the same. But sooner or later, whatever is inside their heart, they will come out. So we really must be able to discern this. Quite often, right, we see outwardly a brother or other Christian, they love God very much. And we see like, wow, it seemed like that, right? It seemed they love God so much. But really, discern. Because sometimes, for example, if we like to do charity work, right? We like to go out there and, and help the homeless people and do prison ministry, that kind of stuff. Don't think outwardly that person, when they do this kind of job, this means they love people very much. It's not always true. It's not always true. Why? Because sometimes when people work with the homeless, and sometimes when you work with those in prison, you really feel like a big person. You go there, everybody call you sir, right? They call you ma'am, right? Because they are homeless, so they respect you. When they do this kind of thing, you feel like you are somebody. And some people, that's what they do. Not because they love the people so much. But you will know by their fruit, the way they treat this homeless person, the way they talk to this homeless person, you can be able to discern. It's very clear. The same thing when we are serving God. If we truly are God's servant, the way we do things, if we really can observe it, and we can really look at this person, if they are sincere or not, right? But if they're not sincere, soon or later, it will come out. Why? Because out of their hearts, right? Let's go to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 12. Verse 33 to verse 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Verse 34. Brood of vipers, how can you be an evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bring forth evil things. Verse 36. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of all in the day of judgment. Verse 37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So here it all has to do with inner man, the inside person's heart. So that's why in the future, if you feel it or looking for the spouse for you to marry, make sure you see their bones first, right? The inward beauty first and not the flesh first, right? Because the flesh always deceiving, right? Because outwardly, it's very easy to deceive others. But inwardly, sooner or later, it will come out. Why? Because inside our heart, if it's evil, when we speak, maybe the first couple of words be, wow, that person is very good. But listen for a little longer, then you will know. So make sure we judge the tree by its fruit. But even then, sometimes the fruits are fake. You must know what's real and what's fake, right? So don't always think, oh, this person helping the homeless and doing this, doing that. They must love God very much. They must love the people very much. It's not always the case. It's not always the case. Yes, sister. Yes, we hope so, right? And we hope because of God's grace, right? Maybe the wolves can turn back to a sheep, right? But that wolf needs to repent, right?
need to repent. If the wolf don't repent, it's always going to be a wolf, right? And we must be careful not to be, you know, be devoured by this wolf in the meantime, right? Any other question? I thought, I know you guys are tired after lunch. It's very difficult to stay awake, right? I think if I wasn't speaking, I would fall asleep with you. Yes? Yes, they make us stumble, right? They cause us death. They bring us death, spiritual death. Yes. Yes. How can we judge? Let's go to 1 John. Let's go to 1 John. Twenty-five more minutes. Hold on. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandment abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. This is so important, right? Because nowadays, you know, when we see good Christian, when we see other people, even our brothers and sisters, right? They do things, they say things. We always feel, oh, they are good people, right? That they really follow God's will, right? Isn't that? But we really must test the Spirit. If any brethren proclaim they are filled with God's Spirit, they always talk about the worldly things. Then that is the first sign. They're not filled with God's Spirit. They're not filled with God's Spirit. But if a person is filled with God's Spirit, the minute you sit down with them, they want to talk the things of God. They want to talk the things about the heavenly kingdom, not the things of this world. So that's why when you listen to sermons, right, on TV, right, those mega churches, most of them always speak concerning the worldly things. But if you and I are fleshly, we would love to hear these worldly things. That's why, how can we test the Spirit? Chapter 4, verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So here, the first thing to test the Spirit said that Jesus is God. Because Jesus, God, come in the flesh. That is the first thing, right? And the second thing is at verse 4. I'm sorry, verse 5. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. So no wonder those mega churches, right? Really, they always speak of the things of the world, right? Then you hear about the pastor in New York, right? Yeah, I think he had a couple of churches. His name is Crafto Dollars, right? You guys know him, Crafto Dollars? His name is Dollars, right? Like D-O-L-L-A-R-S, right? Dollars, right? And what does he speak about most of the time? Prosperity, right? And I remember one time, one of my wife's friend, he wanted to go and listen to him, right, at in New York. And the ticket was $70. $70. And he had to wait for a year. The waiting list was for 1 year. $70. Wow, we hope our church is like that, right? If you want to come to NYGS, it's 1 year waiting list, right? Right, that's going to be wonderful, but if you speak the truth, quite often you don't have that kind of audience, right? Really, you don't have that kind of audience. So, but people love him, right? Just like Joel Osteen, right? Listen to him. His word becomes like cream puff, right? Really. It's nothing at all, but people love to hear it. Why? Because he talks about the worldly things, right? Worldly things. I mean, the Catholic Church used to be very conservative, right? Now the latest news, right? They ask the Pope, "What do you think about, you know, Christian? What do you think about priests that are homosexual?" And he said, "Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge?" But this is the Pope, right? And Catholic, I don't, you know, the Seventh-day Adventists, they're pretty conservative, but you know, according to the Old Testament, right? But actually, the Catholic, they are very conservative. But the priest say, the Pope. Say, who am I to judge, right? If they are homosexual or not, right? So this is the world that you and I live in nowadays. But nowadays, you see when you watch on TV, right? Joseph Prince, right? He's from Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, one of those, right? Right? I mean, people love, right? Love to listen to him, right? And with him, I think there's one of the seminar with him and Joel Austin got together, right? They speak, thousands of people go and listen to them, right? And pay big, big money. Pay big, big money, right? It's very sad, but if you and I like their preaching, then your spirituality is not good.
Really?
If you like their teaching, why? Because all they speak about is concerning the things of this world. You ask Joel Austin about salvation, he would not say anything, right? Things like that. But our church, we always speak the truth. And sometimes the truth is like hard food. It's hard to swallow. But it is the truth. Go to any churches, right? Really, I'm telling you, any church you go to, you cannot find too many young people are still pure and holy, right? Still virgins, not too many. But our church can find plenty of them, right? Why? Because of the teaching. Really? The teaching holds us, right, from being pure and holy. But any other churches? It's sad, but this is the way life is. But if you and I enjoy to listen to the worldly things, then this means we are worldly, right? We are worldly and not spiritual. And then chapter 4, verse 6, verse John. The third way to test the spirit of error. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It's very simple. When we talk about us the one that's speaking the truth. If we talk to a person concerning the Bible, and they don't want to have nothing to do with us, they don't want to hear it, this spirit is a spirit of error. Because if we speak the truth, if they have the spirit of God inside of them, for sure they would love to hear it. But most of the time, it's not like this. So that's why we should not be deceived. So far, since I've been in Christ for 14 years, I never experienced anyone from other churches come to a church with already the promise of the Holy Spirit. I never experienced that. Even though they proclaim, right? They come to a church, they say, oh, I have the Holy Spirit already. What do you say? No, you have the evil spirit. No, you shouldn't say that. Just kidding. You shouldn't say that, right? I say, oh, thank God, you have God's Spirit, let's kneel down and pray together, right? Pray together. This one sister right now in Houston Church, really, and she went to other churches before, right? And her husband is one of the brothers who got baptized in Boston, right? And he left the church for many years. So 2 weeks before he came back to our church, or 2-3 weeks before he came back to our church, he had a vision, right? And a vision, God told him, go back to true Jesus Church. That is the true church of God, right? That's the vision he had. And then he was going to another church called Fort Bend at that time, right? And he asked God, what about Fort Bend? Right? When God told him, go back to true Jesus Church, right? And then he asked, what about Fort Bend? I said, what did God say? I said, God didn't say anything. I said, yeah, because God told you to go to the church, true church, right? Why you ask him that, right? And after that, he started to come to church, right? Then his wife, the first prayer we had, she came up to pray with us in front like this, and she literally stuck to the floor. Even I say amen, but she still stuck to the floor, right? Why? Because the way she prayed, the evil spirit just, you know, make her feel so awful. And even though it's really hot inside the church, she would have a scarf, a hat, a heavy coat on her, right? Then we ask, the church you went to before, right? What happened? She said, what happened? She went to that church while they were praying and stuff like that. And she see evil spirits and stuff like that, right? That's what she said. And then all of a sudden, something came into her. And the minute that thing came into her, she started throw up, right? She threw up all over the place. And the pastor of the church said, what? Oh, you have a lot of sin. That's why when, you know, the God's spirit come into you, it make you throw up all your sin away, right? It's not biblical. Right? It's not biblical, right? But this is what they tell them, right? And then when they lay hands on her, he just fall, right? And then when they lay hand on her husband, and he never fall. He never fall. Even though he left the church for a long time, right? Of course, he has his own reason why, right? But he left the church for a long time. And then he asked the pastor, hey, why don't I fall? It's like, oh, you have took my sin. You have took my sin, that's why you don't fall, right? Really, that's what the pastor told them. But then for him, he doesn't know, right? He doesn't know because he got baptized not so long ago and then he left the church, right? But we know the reason he didn't fall because it's God still protect him from the evil spirit. Right? Because his brother is very simple, right? He's very simple. So really for us, it's so amazing, right? Have this kind of faith. But test the spirit. So far, I have not seen anyone come to a church and already receive the Holy Spirit. A lot of them, they receive the slain spirit. Right? Some of them, they receive the they so-called receive the Holy Spirit. They run around the chapel just like a dog and bark. How can God's spirit be like that? Right? And sometimes they roll around, they foam into their mouth. They say, that's God's spirit. There's no way God is like that. But people believe, right? And Benny Hinn, right? You guys know Benny Hinn? The guy always dressed in white? You guys don't know? Well, good. You don't watch too much of those stupid things anyway, but it's good, yeah. But sometimes it's good to know, right? Actually, Benny Hinn, they all, because he performed a lot of miracles and signs, right? So I think Dateline, whatever, did it, you know, the investigation, right? He faked everything. Every city, every town he go to pay people money, right? To pretend they're crippled, they're blind, so then he would heal them. So they already, this was out in the news, everybody know already. But people still go to him. But I see, he has really a demon possessed. His video, one time, I think it's like PMVP, right? I did on another denomination. And I did one on him. And I go in to watch video, right? Wow. This guy really possessed by evil spirit. There's like 100 people, right, in front of the stage. And he just go like this. And they all fell. I'm talking about when you fall like that, you cannot pretend to fall like that, right? They just pick themselves up and roll themselves to the ground. You know, if you and I are about to fall, we would catch ourselves, right? But when evil spirit pick you up and throw you to the ground, this is what it's like. So you can see, actually, if you see the person that received so Holy Spirit, they call it, and a person possessed, I put two videos, right, for the class to see. You cannot tell which person possessed by evil spirit and which one is supposedly receiving Holy Spirit. Why you cannot tell? Why? Huh? Yeah, because they both receive evil spirit. That's why you cannot tell, right? But this man, right? And then of course, you know, the brother and his wife went to see him, Benny Hinn one time, right? And before they walk in the door, they have a credit card swipe thingy, right? And they say, oh, $40, right, each person. And before they go in, so he swiped there, this and that, right? So he went in, they sat down, then they give sermon, entertainment, this and that. Then they came back, and then in the middle intermission, there's another swipe come out, right? It's like, oh, I give $40, but it's like, no, that $40 for the church. Now this $40 is for Benny Hinn, right? So $80 a person, right, sitting there. And he said when they, actually he called me that time, because he started to, he was still going to church, so he called me, he's like, yeah, Foody, I just entered this church, and it's full of fire on the side. So when he went in, right, they have this fire flaming thing, right, and it's all completely dark, it's full of fire and stuff like that, right? I said, you better get out of there already, right? Why you want to go to this kind of place, right? But during that time, you know, his wife was really sick, right? So they want to go to different places, right, to get help. But they went all the wrong places. But thank God, right, God moved his heart to come back to church. And now his wife, the last time I saw her, right, she was helping with out with the garbage, and she dressed normal, just like you and I. But every time before I visit her, oh man, she's really, you know that the evil spirit has bothered her so much. But now because she's in our church, little by little, God healed her, right? God healed her. But she needed to continue to cultivate herself. If not, evil spirit, right, will come bother her again. So really for us, our church completely preach the true doctrine. Don't let anyone else deceive you in the other way. And the only way to know that, study the Bible more. Study the Bible more. Because for me, because I don't read Chinese, right? So for example, Sam is a TTP student, right? So a lot of time he can read a lot of stuff, right? Because a lot of elders have written stuff like that, right? I myself, I don't have that, you know, privilege to do that. So I just go into the Bible and just read the Bible myself. And everything is in the Bible that I have learned. The same thing. So if I don't read
all the things that the publication from my elders and senior minister, and I read the Bible and I came out to the same conclusion. What does that mean? That means every doctrine that you and I have in our church is from the Bible, nothing else. But you and I must have faith. It takes faith, right? And that's why in Hebrews chapter 11, right? The hall of faith. Then it concludes, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But it all has to do with faith. Any question you thought right now in the spirit of error? Anything? You guys want to take a nap? Oh, okay. So yeah, some people who do not, they don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, right? And it's quite difficult to preach to them, right? In that kind of situation, we must talk to them about what do you think about life, right? Let's not talk about the Bible, right? Just think about how, you know, who created you, right? Just think about this kind of stuff, right? Of course, they can go to the Big Bang Theory, evolution, that kind of stuff, right? But for us, we can talk very plainly that there's no way that evolution, they become from monkeys and chimpanzees, right? There's no way, right? And the Big Bang, right? That kind of stuff. So we must talk to them. But we must know this kind, you know, this kind of teaching, right? This kind of teaching. And some people just say, we just exist just to exist, right? Just like that. So that's why we must talk to them about life, right? That's how we begin, right? Just talk about life. What do they believe? Do they believe there's a God? Right? If they believe they're a God, then there's no. That's also the standing point, the base that we also could work on. But just carry conversation with them, that's all. Don't fight with them, don't argue with them, right? They may say, oh, the Bible is not the Word of God. No, it is, right? And they say, no, no, it is, right? No, you don't need to do that kind of stuff, right? Any other question? Let's go to the next one. Chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 24 to verse 27. Chapter 7, verse 24 to verse 27. Therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will like him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was found on the rock. Verse 26. But everyone who hears this saying of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Verse 27. And the rain descended, the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So here, how can we tell? How do we know if we build a house on the sand or on the rock? What do we know? What do we know? What's that?
Wind? Yes.
So actually, when trial and tribulation come upon us, right? When the end days come upon us. So right now, right? Because those who build a house on the sand, those who enter the wide gate. But those who build on the rock, that people enter the narrow gate. Because, you know, you ever see people build, anybody here live on a rock? I mean, your house on a rock? Yeah, right? So how? But you didn't see how they build it, right? Do you have a basement? What is basement is like, your basement? It's like a basement. I mean, is a rock sticking out of your basement and stuff or no? I'll say it must did a really good job, right? Or maybe the rock is a little weak, I don't know, but yeah. So when I lived in Boston before my parents, right? Yeah, we live on a rock. But we live on a rock. Our basement, more than half a basement is rock, right? And my dad is the one that built a house on the rock, right? You know how you build it? To build a foundation on rock, what must you do? What do you guys think? How do you build a foundation on a rock? Huh? They don't just put a house on the rock, right? And then it will slide away very easy, right? But they build house into the rock, the foundation is into the rock, right? How do they do it? They use TNT, dynamite, to blow up the rock, right? And that's not an easy thing, right? Do you need to do that if you build a house on the sand? Of course not. You can get the plastic spoon thingy, right? And you can build a house on the sand, right? It's much easier to do that. But to build on a rock is very difficult, it's very complicated. So that's why people say, hey, why do you have to build a house on a rock for, right? Build on the sand. Yes, maybe temporary, it's working. But we know the house we are building is not for temporary use, but for eternity. So don't be fooled by others, right? Your church is so legalistic, right? You have to be baptized, you see the Holy Spirit, for the washing, Holy Communion, all those things. It has nothing to do with our faith and nothing to do with our beliefs. But don't let them fool you. Because if you don't do any of these things, it's just like a person building a house on the sand. You know when the time comes? When our church is going to be glorified, then you will know. Because before a church is glorified, then we try tribulation will come upon us. That those of us can stand 2 feet inside the church firmly, then we know we have built a house on a rock. But sad to say, there's also going to be many of us that we build a house on the sand, and the floods come, the rain comes, the wind blows, and you and I be done. Please, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. But understand that the teaching in our church is like building a house on a rock. Yes, when we get baptized, we have to go and find living water, right? It's not easy. Especially in Africa, sometimes you walk 3 hours, the baptismal site, right? One sister walks 7 hours one way to get baptized. 14 hours just to get baptized both ways. Can you imagine that, right? Now you and I drive half an hour to complain already, right? But why don't we just get a tub of water, right? Fill a tub and do it. That's the easy way. That's the way that humans feel that is right. But we do what is God think that is right. Then build a house on a rock. And make sure right now your foundation is on a rock. Because if it's on the rock, to destroy this house is very difficult. So may God bless all of you. That's why I pray.